Radio.
Arguments are not going to attract people. Winning is going to attract people.
Radio.
Radio.
The Poor People's Riot, as they call it, was necessary, it was reasonable, and it was just.
Radio.
And if you get in my way to make sure that that man gets housing, or that he gets enough to eat, I will move you.
Radio.
Okay.
Welcome to OCAP Radio on April 2nd, 2010. I hope everyone's enjoying the nice weather. This evening we have, I'm going to start off with some sad news this evening. A dear friend and amazing activist and community member, Aaron Shelbourne, a disability rights activist, has passed away this last Tuesday, March 30th. Aaron fought bladder cancer for the last 2.5 years, and his friends, family, and co-conspirators are very sad to see him go. He was a beautiful man who lit up the room that he was in. He lit up people's lives. He was a gorgeous man who was a great listener. Aaron was a disability rights activist. He was born with cerebral palsy and spoke with AAC, Alternative Augmentative Communication. Aaron grew up in institutions and taught himself to read when he was in his 40s. He went to Seneca, he went back to school, despite not being taught to read during very ableist times in the 60s and 70s, and Aaron taught himself to read. He spoke using AAC, and he had communication assistance so that he could continue his everyday activities and continue to be a disability rights activist. Some of you might remember in August 2008, Aaron was banned from the Everest restaurant on Queen Street, and he stood up and he stood his ground, and went back with a group of people to demand his rights as a person in a wheelchair to go back to that restaurant, and he got the apology that he demanded, and that was very courageous and amazing, and we were all continuously inspired and awed by Aaron and the life that he lived. He was such a happy man. He had his battles, but he stayed a beautiful person, and he wanted everyone to be beautiful. Aaron was a lover of love and of sex, and wanted everyone to have as much sex as they could, and it was a beautiful thing to be around him, and he's going to be sorely missed in this community. If anyone is wanting to remember Aaron, he was born August 8th, 1959, and he died just last week. There'll be a celebration of Aaron's life next Monday, April 5th, from 1 to 5 p.m. From 3 to 5, there's going to be stories and speeches. Some of the last things that Aaron said was that you're going to need a big room to hold all the people in my life. And there's no way even for people to know how many lives Aaron's touched over the years, over his 50 years, his 51 years. So the celebration of his life will be at the Cardinal Funeral Home at 366 Bathurst Street between 1 and 5 p.m. That's just north of Dundas Street. And I encourage anyone who knew Aaron, who was touched by his life, to come and join in that celebration of what an amazing man he was. It's important to know that's a totally accessible space, and communication assistance will be available, and it'll be one final hurrah with and for Aaron, who will not be forgotten. And in honor and celebration of Aaron tonight, we're going to play a Supertramp song. I know he was a fan of Supertramp, and he was also a fan of Fleetwood Mac and Carole King and Meatloaf, and we're going to play this song. It's Goodbye Stranger. So goodbye, Aaron Shelbourne. You're a beautiful, gorgeous person, and you'll be very much missed.
today. I was up before the dawn. And I really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle. Like a queen without a throne. I'm a king on love.
Goodbye Stranger by Supertramp. That was a tribute to Aaron Shelburne, who died last Tuesday. And if you'd like to share in the life of time and times of Aaron Shelburne, please join us Monday, April 5th between 1 and 5 at Cardinal Funeral Home on Bathurst Street. Thank you for listening to OCAP Radio here on CKLN 88.1. Up next, we have an interview with John Clark. We have John Clark here in the studio. But first, I'm going to tell you a couple of important announcements. John's here to talk about the cut. The Liberal government has cut the special diet from welfare and ODSP. And in response to this, we'll be speaking to John about that. And upcoming, if you'd like to hear more, there's going to be a public meeting featuring John himself, along with Roland Wong, occupational and community medicine physician, and Michael Hurley, president of the Ontario Council of Hospital Unions. They'll be speaking on what this means for folks on OW and ODSP. That's Tuesday, April 6th at 7 p.m. at Wheezy. Also, Friday, April 9th, there'll be a public meeting to talk about the cuts to the special diet. That'll be held at 6 p.m. at Parkdale Activity and Recreation Center at 1499 Queen Street West. And it'll be important to bring community members together to talk about that. And finally, on April 15th, Thursday, at 12 noon, there's going to be a rally and march on the McGuinty government. That's starting at 12 noon at Allen Gardens. And that'll be to demand that the government bring back the special diet and raise welfare and OGSP rates by 40%. And now I'd like to thank John Clark for being here. Hi, John. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
So, John, tell us what's happened with the special diet.
Well, the special diet program has been eliminated in the budget. It's the means by which people were basically surviving. One in five people on social assistance had been receiving the special diet up until this time. And so the enormity of what the government has done is absolutely incredible. They've removed the means by which people could have enough income to barely pay the rent and feed their families. And that's been taken away from people. This government, of course, has postured about being committed to poverty reduction and has created the perennial impression that it's about to do something to deal with poverty. Mm-hmm. But the record now shows that this is the third Ontario government in history that has actually cut income support to poor people. Mitchell Hepburn did it in 1938, Mike Harris did it in 1995, and Dalton McGuinty has done it. It means a driving down of income. And if you look at the amount of resources they're taking away from people with the special diet and measure it against their paltry 1% increase, in effect something around a 3% cut to social assistance has now taken place at a time when the need for social assistance is expanding. So it's an incredibly vicious and a dreadful move.
Wow, that's terrible. And how were they able to, are they allowed to cut the special diet? How did they go about this?
Well, they simply included the intention to destroy the special diet in the budget bill, and the budget bill was then passed by the legislature, and so the measure takes effect. They probably, I think, to do something like that would only have needed to issue an order in council anyway, but this has actually taken place under the authority of the Ontario legislature.
So the Ontario legislature is backing this move, the Liberals?
That's true, yes. And of course, it's a liberal-controlled legislature, so the result was not very difficult to predict.
Absolutely. Tell me about the doctors and nurses who've been signing for the special diet. What are they saying about this situation?
Well, people are outraged. Mm-hmm. Many providers that had, to one degree or another, provided people the special diet are now facing a situation, of course, where they know that's being taken away, and they're acutely aware of how urgent the need is. Dr. Roland Wong, who you mentioned, was a major source of the special diet, the greatest single source of any medical provider in the province, undoubtedly, but also doctors and other healthcare professionals organised in health providers against poverty have also been speaking out against this measure.
Mm-hmm. How is this going to affect people's health? What are they saying about that?
Well, there's no question that what is generally called in that world, the social determinants of health are decisive. Increasing people's poverty is going to make people sicker, is going to destroy people's lives, is going to dislocate communities, is going to have all those impacts. But I think it's also important to recognise why this is being done. we now have a situation where in this province, 1 in 6 workers are working at or close to the minimum wage. The growth of low-wage employment has grown enormously under this government at this time.
Under the McGuinty government.
Under the McGuinty government. And if you are going to be able to have a supply of cheap labour, the most essential thing is to make sure that people don't have an alternative. The most essential thing is to drive down welfare rates to the lowest possible level. So despite all their hypocritical verbiage about poverty reduction and dealing with poverty, if you're going to force people into those kinds of jobs, poverty jobs, it's absolutely essential that the alternative be even worse than those poverty jobs. Hence, the special diet was in the way of that mechanism and has been removed. Although, I mean, I stress that we see this as a dreadful attack on people. It's going to hurt people enormously, but it's also leading to an incredible feeling of anger in low income communities and throughout broader sections of society. Mm-hmm. And I think this government's days of being able to pose as something enlightened and kinder and gentler than Mike Harris and rest on those laurels is coming to an end. I think now the possibilities for challenging this government and challenging poverty are actually going to increase as a result of this measure.
Mm-hmm. What are people saying that... How are people going to respond to this?
Well, we are being inundated with calls from people who are affected. There's obviously a certain amount of shock. There's a certain amount of horror that what's happening to people. And I'm not being melodramatic. We're talking about people realizing that they are back to a situation where they just don't know how they can feed their families and pay the rent. So we're seeing that. But our perspective is going to be to transform those feelings of desperation into feelings of very constructive feelings of social mobilization, of a challenge to what's happening. Our demonstration on the 15th is not, I stress, just an attempt to let off some steam and register a protest about something that we can do nothing about. We're saying that the special diet must be restored, and we're saying social assistance rates, which have lost 55% of their real value since the early 90s, need to be brought up to a level that people can survive on. And we're very, very serious about actually struggling to ensure that happens and linking those struggles to the broader fight that's going on around defending public services. And to do that, we have to stop. We have to get away from this notion that there's some possibility to constructively engage with this government and make polite suggestions to them and sit down and have tea and cucumber sandwiches with their ministers. And instead, we have to start actually mobilising to challenge them. McGuinty's no Mike Harris. He's not got what it takes to face down that kind of a movement.
Absolutely, John. Now, John, what do you say when people talk about about why people shouldn't be on welfare? What do you say about the families who are on welfare and the state of our system that people need to be able to survive on welfare? Do you know what I'm saying? That people say have a negative view of welfare, and they believe people shouldn't be on it anyway, and it's their own fault for going hungry.
Well, those feelings have been installed and really engineered as a major prejudice. Going all the way back to the old English poor laws, the notion that people who applied for public assistance were in some way unworthy, and the system certainly works to make you feel as unworthy as possible. That sort of notion has been over and over again drummed into people. Just this week, Jason Kenney, the well-hated minister in the Harper government, actually made the outrageous statement that the reason there are allegedly so many bogus refugee claimants coming to Canada is because people want to access the generous welfare systems that exist in this country. Not surprising that Kenny shares those prejudices, but I think we challenge them But the best way to challenge them is to mobilize poor people and to fight back, and to explain to workers the connection between miserably low welfare rates and the ability of their employers to have the upper hand and undermine their unions and destroy their wages and working conditions. We have to start seeing the poor people who are on welfare as a very significant and important section of the working class as a whole, and we have to build a working class movement that involves both employed workers and unemployed people and people on welfare.
Absolutely, and this is actually the masses. This is the majority of folks in Canada and Ontario are part of that working class.
That's certainly true. That is certainly true.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're asking people to come to the public meeting on the 9th of...
That's right. At the public meeting on the 9th in Parkdale, we will have a number of people speak. But what we will also have is a great deal of what you might call testimony. People speaking from the standpoint of what has happened to them, what has happened to their families. And people who attend the meeting are going to get a very clear sense of what this cut is and what it represents and what this government really is doing to people. But moreover, we'll also advance a perspective of building a movement to challenge it and linking the movement of poor people to the broader working class movement. So I think this is a very important time. We've just been dealt a devastating attack. There has been a crisis within the system, as we well know. There remains a jobless recovery that is dubiously moving the economy upwards. And they have, in order to stabilize their system, racked up the debt, and they're looking to make poor people and working class people pay for that crisis. And the alternative is to make them pay. And to do that, we've got to build a movement. We've got to mobilize, and frankly, we've got to stop going through the rituals of registering our token protest and start building a movement that actually fights on an entirely different basis. We've really got to rediscover what social resistance is.
Absolutely. Now, is there supporters? Are there union supporters are involved in this rally on the 15th?
We understand that, of course, this is not a time when the unions are led by their most militant people. Unions have been pushed back, and unions have even retreated fairly significantly, and that shows in terms of their political orientation at the moment. But the unions and the workers in them are a vital part of what needs to be built, and we're looking to at every point. Develop the closest possible working relationship with workers organized in unions, where possible through those that are elected, those that are the elected leadership, but where necessary to appeal directly to rank and file workers to start mobilizing. So we have connections, we have links, but we need to make those much stronger.
All right, and so people looking to make those links stronger and to hear more about this can go on April 6th at OISE, that's 252 Bloor Street West, at 7 o'clock to hear John, Roland Wong, and others speak about the poverty that the provincial government has caused with these cuts. And on April 15th at noon at Allen Gardens, join in this important struggle and fight against the war on poverty that is happening right now in our province, in our city. And I want to thank you, John, very much for being here.
Thanks,
Amy. On CKLN 88.1. Also, in other OCAP news, I'd like to mention that on Friday there was a public meeting for defending the poor against gentrification in the downtown East End. That was last Friday. It had a great turnout, and lots of great information and speakers were at that. Now, that's uploaded on radioforall.com, which is linked off of our website, www.ocap.ca. And you can search for OCAP Radio on radioforall.com. In In other news, there's also going to be, in terms of mobilization, there will be a G20 meeting this coming week. It's going to be held, it's a public mobilization, April the 8th, 2010. It's going to be at the 519 Church Street Center at 6:30 p.m. It's expected to run about 2 hours, and this is for community-based organizers and activists from across Ontario and Quebec are invited to join an open planning meeting focusing on Toronto's response to the G20 summits being held here. We will be updating, we'll be handing out our posters and flyers and updating our schedule of events. Currently, right now, June 21st to the 24th, 2010, there will be theme days of resistance. On June 23rd, it's climate and environmental justice. June 24th is Indigenous sovereignty and self-determination. And June 25th to 27th will be the days of action. It's important for all aspects of community members to get involved and help organize the GHE20 resistance. So you can do that on April the 8th at 6:30 at the 519. And as always, I'd like to remind everyone that if they'd like to help support OCAP as an organization, you can go to our website, ocap.ca, and click on Becoming a Sustainer and help raise some funds for OCAP. We're always in need of some money as we don't get any government funding. And please come out on April 15th to the rally in March, demanding a restoration of the special diet. That's at Allen Gardens at noon. And to April 9th to the talk being held at OISE. And also come out to Park next Friday to hear testimonials of why the cuts to the special diet have been so devastating to community members. That about wraps it up for OCAP Radio this week, Friday, April 2nd. I'd like to thank, as always, Susie and Mark. Mark for teching, as he does, week in, week out, for choosing the music. And I'd like to thank John Clark for being here again. And we'll see you all again in 2 weeks. Bye now.